I just
this conference
talk back.
Will.
All right. Well, let me let you go, and everybody, here's Sam Caster, and Sam's going to give us some insight into some great new programs coming up, and then we'll open it for some questions towards the end. Everybody's on mute right now, Sam. They can unmute themselves if they have questions, but we'll try to hold that for the end. Okay?
Okay. Thanks.
All right.
Well, thank you guys for your patience. I'm sorry about that. Well, we are really excited about what we're doing at Manatech these days. I'm just going to give you a little history on how we got to this place, and I think it's more perspective than anything else. You know, when we started Manatech, we realized that we were doing something very unique in the world. And, you know, you've heard terminology for the last 15, 16 years like company of provision, company of destiny, because we really believed that there was a higher purpose in calling on this company than just a sales organization. I think we were blessed with some very unique technologies that addressed the biggest health risk issues in the world today. You know, in my current talk, I talk about the number one health risk in the world is really undernourishment. It contributes to more poor health than anything else out there. And, of course, in its most acute form, which is called malnutrition, you know, predominantly in developing countries of the world, we see that 5 million kids a year die from acute forms of malnutrition. So and that is a bigger problem than all disease, all natural disasters, all famine, everything wrapped up together doesn't come close to the number of kids, you know, that struggle with malnutrition. So, you know, we believe that we have a technology that can make a difference. And, you know, so we ran two standard business models, if you will. One is Manatech, which was a for-profit entity that is a research and development company that makes these real food technologies and through a network marketing distribution model sells them, you know, to the marketplace around the world. Great opportunity, great technology, great story, great results. At the same time, you know, over a decade ago, we realized the potential we had for touching these children's lives that we would never reach through our business model, so we started Manna Relief. Manna Relief was the traditional not-for-profit organization. And just like every other not-for-profit organization, we had the same issues of fundraising and lack of sustainability in terms of our ability to touch lives. And when the economy and the abundance in Manatech was good, we did good fundraising. When things slid backwards, we didn't do so good. And so every not-for-profit struggles with the same thing. And then 2008 came along, and it just wiped out what I would call abundance in the marketplace. You know, we lost $6 trillion worth of our savings and through the banking debacle that occurred. And, of course, it crippled the economy, not only this country, but around the world. And, you know, experts say it may never come back to where it was. I mean, there's going to be some level of recovery over the next decade, but chances are it'll never get back to where it was. And so, you know, when you look at the ability to sell advanced wellness solutions into the marketplace, it requires financial abundance in order for people to be able to afford to invest in their own health. And when people are economically challenged, it's one of the very first things they have to consider is, where do I spend my money to live today, you know, to pay my bills today? The second issue is, for not-for-profits, it was probably more devastating than for-profits, because, you know, there is no abundance of wealth in the marketplace when you go through that kind of economical challenge. And so all not-for-profits have struggled dramatically since 2008. You know, some have had to just completely close down. All their efforts have just dried up because there is no overflow of cash. And so, you know, we found ourselves in similar situations as you know, traditional industry and as well as the not-for-profit industry. And so, you know, what we were really struggling for is something new, if you will, that could accomplish our goals. And, you know, what came along is a book to me called How to Change the World. And it was just an eye-opening blueprint for success in what we were trying to achieve. And it talks about the new movement of social change that has come about just in the last, you know, decade or two. I mean, this is a brand new model. And actually, the best way to describe it is it combines the best of both initiatives, things that are for-profit combined with things that are not-for-profit. And let me give you sort of the criteria for a social change organization. Number one, you have to identify a problem that is of global proportion. So in other words, the book talks about, you know, poverty, education, health, things like that that plague nations and a global community. And what they said is those problems cannot and will not be solved by government, because government is too slow, too bureaucratic, too corrupt, you know, too much at the beck and call of big industry. And so they have no capacity for bringing needed social change to the world. They said industry can't do it. Industry is good at donating, but you know what? Their donations are determined by the economics climate that is going on in the world, and also couched a little bit by their own initiatives. And sometimes a company's own initiatives are in conflict with what is needed for social change. So they said industry can't do it. Not-for-profits have the heart to do it, but don't have the sustainable funding sources to bring real lasting change into the world. So what they talked about, this new model of a social movement bringing change. So criteria number one has to be a problem that's big, you know, a global problem. Number two, you have to create an innovative solution to the problem. So when you look at the number one health challenge in the world, it is undernutrition. You know, and that's what I'm talking about in my talks these days, is that, you know, that's not a third world problem. Acute malnutrition might be a developing world problem, but undernourishment is the plague of the 21st century. It is why our kids are expected to live lesser quality of life and shorter lifespans than we did, because they're so undernourished. 90% of all the food we buy in this country is processed food. And even when we buy good food, as we talk about in our talks, even modern farming techniques have stripped significant amounts of just basic essential nutrients out of our good food supply. So, you know, here's the problem that we face in the 21st century is undernourishment in its most acute form, malnutrition. So that's a global problem, folks. Again, that you can't get any bigger. Number two, we created the most innovative solution to this challenge that exists in the marketplace, real food technology, because we've learned that fake food, synthetic food, empty food doesn't bring relief, you know, to this challenge. And malnutrition, we send 450,000 tons of enriched grain-based cereals overseas every year to try to deal with that problem. And as Doctors Without Borders and now UNICEF and the World Health Organization have now discovered, it doesn't work to fight off malnutrition, because these are just, again, processed grain-based cereals that don't have enough nutrition to keep these kids alive. So it doesn't touch the problem. You know, Doctors Without Borders ask for nutritionally dense, you know, ready-to-use food products, you know, things that really bring true value, things that are based off of the food matrix, the way our food was designed to support the human body. And we own that technology. We filed patents on Phytomatrix. We filed patents on Ambertose. You know, our optimal support, you know, program is the absolute most advanced real food technology for providing people with what is deficient in their diets today. So we have identified a global problem. We have the best solution. Number three is the solution must touch the hearts of the public. In other words, your problem and solution has got to be connected to the passion of people for bringing change to the world, to be a real social movement. So here's where sort of that not-for-profit sort of feel comes into it, because what they're saying is that the public is to a social movement what investment banking is to industry. It is your currency. It is what will drive global change. You have to tap in, you know, to the hearts and the passion of the public to have a social change movement. And, you know, listen, guys, I don't know anything that touches the hearts of people better, you know, more effectively and more realistically than children that are hurting all over the world, including our own children, by the way. So, I mean, you don't have to go to Ethiopia to find kids that are hurting. You just have to go to a different part of Dallas maybe than you live in. And so we got to find a solution, you know, to hurting children in the world. And so, yes, we can tap into the hearts and the passions of people all over the planet for bringing life and abundance to these children. And then finally, and this is so good, the fourth component is you have to find a way to financially incentivize the public to drive your mission. Because they said if you meet those criteria and you put them all in play, then get out of the way. because change will come to a global community if you do all those things. And so, you know, what we looked at, you know, this last several months is how do we incorporate, how we change our past from running a traditional business and a traditional a not-for-profit organization into combining those together to bring a social movement into the marketplace that I'm telling you is going to be just as important as any that have come before us. They gave a couple of examples in the book of social change movements and how successful they've been in changing the plight of people all over the planet. Like, for instance, one is the Grameen Bank Project that was started by Muhammad Yunus. In fact, he won the Nobel Prize in 2006 for it. He just broke all the rules of banking. He just said, you know, the best investment that we could make is in people that have a true desire to change their lives. You know, half the world's population lives on less than a dollar a day. And poverty is one of the number one plagues in the whole world. How are we going to deal with poverty? You're not going to do it through traditional banking. You're not going to economically empower them through loans that are made to people that can collateralize the loan, that have a history of paying loan. You leave out the majority of the population that really needs, you know, to bring change into the world. So he created this concept called microloans, where he went out and loaned $50, $100, $500, you know, to people making less than a dollar a day to buy their homes, to invest in new business. And it has been a global phenomenon. The payback is over 99%. And it's because he's dealing with people that have integrity, that have passion, and just need a chance. They say today that microloans is the number one strategy for eliminating poverty in the world. And this was just an entrepreneur, social entrepreneur, who saw a problem that was bigger than himself, bigger than the traditional way of doing banking. And he just, and so what he had to do is he couldn't get money from the banking industry, so he engaged the public in this project. And they gave small loans so he could incorporate a microloan business. And the return has been phenomenal. It's breaking all banking, you know, return on investment. So it's one of those great examples of how a social entrepreneur saw a problem, created an innovative solution, and brought change to a world into a challenge, you know, that dealt with over half the world's population. You know, there's a lot of examples, not a lot, but there's five or six examples in this book. And so what they're saying is this is the new wave of change in the 21st century. So what we had to do is reinvent ourselves at Manatech because we had the heart, we had the passion, we had the technology, we had the problem. You know, we actually had a business model that could economically incentivize the public. We just didn't put it all together into a social movement. And so that's what we've done. And the way that we've done it is we've created a new plan that is called Give for Real. Give for Real answers the challenge of how do you fund this kind of real food technology to the lives of children who, A, don't have any parents. You know, they're orphaned. They're out there on the front lines. And bring meaningful change to the masses, not just 1,000 people here and 1,000 people there, not just a good honorable type program like we did with Manna Relief, and we did our best, but something that will bring significant change into the world. So what we felt is there's a global market for wellness, according to Paul Zane Pilsner, a $1 trillion industry in the making. So what does that mean? It means there's over a billion consumers out there of people that will be looking in this next decade for the best wellness technologies. So I'm not talking about the 5 billion people that may not be looking for wellness. So this isn't about having to sell something that people don't feel they need. This is about supplying the need with the best technology to over a billion people around the world. And what if we got our message of real food technology into the marketplace and we're able to just capture 1% of that market? Hey folks, that's 10 million consumers. If we link 10 million consumers to 10 million at-risk children, you know what we could do? We could eliminate the most acute forms of malnutrition in the world. Hey, I'm telling you, eliminate the most acute forms of malnutrition. So that is what we as a company have decided to do. We met with the senior management, met with the board of directors. Yes, it costs money to do this, but you know, there's something bigger at stake than just the bottom line profit here. And you know what? I agree with people like Craig Hill who said, listen, it is like a law of nature. You invest in the orphans, You know, you bring relief to the least of us, and the blessings are just abundant. And so I think it is not only the right thing to do, it is the best business strategy we could incorporate, is to make as part of our core business strategy making a difference in the lives of the most vulnerable kids on the planet. So that's what Gift for Real is. It will link any auto order purchase of our core technologies, which is Ambritos, Phytomatrix, Optimal Support Packs, PhytoBurst, or ManaBears. These are the products that we take into orphanages directly, you know, to an ongoing sustainable supply of same types of products. We change them a little for kids, into these orphanages and onto the front lines of organizations that are dealing with acute malnutrition in the world. So that's called Gift for Real. That will launch in July. And it changes the language of who we are and what we do. We are no longer just a research and development sales organization. We become a social movement that is dedicated to bringing significant change into the world. And we do it through this program called Gift for Real. And I think, Mary Jo, it changes everything. It changes who we are, how we operate, what our conversations are with people. Already in just the first several weeks of announcing what we're doing and what our plans are, some of the leaders in Manatech are already putting together brand new creative strategies for entering the marketplace. You know, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to open up the giving model as broadly as we possibly can. And this is something Mary Jo and I talked about, that, you know, the company is going to give based off of auto orders of core technologies, but we're going to create SKU numbers, which are just different ID numbers for products that you want donated to Manna Relief. So in other words, on your auto order, if you make an auto order for bulk Ambritos, it generates a full 30-day supply for a child. If you add a package of PhytoBurst or a bottle of Manna Bears to your order and pick the order number that goes to Manna Relief, you can enhance your giving, you know, or you make it all about giving, whatever you want to do. In other words, we're opening the floodgates for every form of giving that is imaginable to meet the needs of kids. So you can participate through our donation through consumption model. You can even donate yourself. You can work a business around finding donors. You know, I know that, and I'm working with Craig Hill. You guys know who he is. I think you do. He's a presidential from Colorado. You know, he's working on a program called Giving Changes Everything. And he's starting off his prospecting by giving away one of our products to people who would be willing to give it away to others. Because he's saying, listen, giving opens the floodgates for abundance, and out of our original pack, we ought to give to each other so that when we sign up for auto order, we give to orphans. And it's just, anyway, that's just another idea out there for creating a true giving mentality around our whole business strategy. Obviously, if you're listening to me on this call today, you can maybe detect a bit of enthusiasm in my voice. Because honestly, I think that this is what we were called to do from day one. You know, back in 1993, when Linda and I were sitting there in her mother's house, and we were literally just praying, Lord, lead us into something that brings, you know, change into the world, that makes our lives valuable, that allows us to make a contribution into the world. We're tired of serving ourselves. We're tired of just running businesses. We want to be a part of something that has a greater purpose. And, I mean, you guys probably know this if you're on this call, but you know, during that prayer time, Linda felt that what the Lord laid on her heart is he was going to gift us, you know, with a company of provision, a company that would touch the lives of people all over the planet. We didn't have any idea what that meant. You know, that came to be known as a company of destiny. And, you know, for 16 years, we have used the traditional models of distribution to sort of tap into that, but we've never really done it. And, gosh, I think this whole concept of a social movement transcends our whole technology base, our whole heart and desire to make a difference, our whole desire to use Manna Relief as a mechanism, puts it all together in the most dynamic business strategy that I think the world has ever seen. And it's, again, it's already proven itself in four or five really key areas of social change, whether it's education or whether it's economic development with a microloan business. Or another example is a guy that introduced electricity to an entire continent almost of, you know, South America through a whole new business strategy, that linked social entrepreneurship to an overwhelming challenge that faced the country of Brazil. And, just people that had a heart to make a difference, you know, but needed an economic driver to their social change mentality, realizing that not-for-profits couldn't do it, couldn't get sustainable, you know, economic base to really bring, you know, sustainable change into the world. And so these are these new models, and I don't think anything fits the criteria better than Manatech. And the reason I say that is because in most social models, the public, which is the currency for change, has to be economically incentivized because that's their payday for doing what their heart's mission is. But in our company, we get to add the extra caveat of bringing quality of life to them through our product. So we have products that not only enhance their own quality of life, but touch these children around the world. We economically incentivize them. We plug into all, you know, that is required to drive a model of social change. And I think, guys, in the next decade, we will become the poster child for this sort of movement in the world. And so, Mary Jo, that's what I had to share with you guys this morning. I am so excited about what we're about to do, what we're going to do, what we're going to accomplish, and this whole new movement that we're going to shift to in Manatech.
Wonderful. Thanks, Sam. Does anyone... This is just so exciting, and my brain, of course, as all you guys know, it goes in 100 directions about what this is going to look like, how do you approach people, what do you say, the marketing materials we're going to be using, and all the greatness of, you know, how we approach people in a new way. It's just exciting as all get out, because it's like another step. I'm entrenched in this whole Mexico opening, because I think that's a whole new sales market that we have out there that just is, you know, it's brought new life to my organization in a gigantic way. But this is yet a whole nother level, because it's not about the business expansion as much as it's about really tackling a gigantic social problem. And
well, you know what, Mary Jo, I'll tell you, in the Hispanic market, one of the reasons that Craig got onto this giving campaign is last year he had someone in his organization that was the number one recruiter in the world. And he was a missionary from Ecuador that was living in the United States working in the Hispanic community. And he just went into his church when we did that economic stimulus plan last year, and he said, look, in Ecuador we've got these orphans that need this nutrition. I want you to buy an All-Star pack. You know, that will give you product. Half the product will go to these kids. And the economic model of economic stimulus will fund our missions programs within the church, and I just need your help. He sold 356 All-Star packs. they lined up to buy it.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like he had to meet with each of them for an hour and try to talk them into something. You know, they saw the value in their own lives. They saw the value they could bring to kids and how the financial model could fund their ministry activities. And
wow,
people lined up. 356, what a different conversation that is about bringing these technologies. The only thing he didn't have is a sustainable model, you know, which is what we've created right now for helping the kids on an ongoing basis.
Right.
Here's what I do know. In the Hispanic culture, helping children is as big a priority, maybe bigger in family, than it is any place in the world. So I think this whole model that we will enter Mexico with will put a fresh face on business that country has never seen and yearns for, just like they do all over the world.
Right. Absolutely. That's absolutely true, Sam. They're a culture that puts incredible heavy emphasis on family, core values, or just family, family, family. In fact, you know, I was fighting to make sure we made sure all of our children's products were going to go into Mexico, because it was so crucial to me. I think the majority of families, I already told Al and the group there, I said, I think your top two sellers in Mexico are going to be Phytoburst and Mana Bears. You know?
Right.
That's another reason, because they're so reasonable in cost, but the reality is that those parents rather take care of their kids than take care of themselves.
So this program will launch on July 10th, I think. It's the start of BP 8, is that? I think it's 8, 7 or 8, whatever that is, July 10th. Anyway, we'll have materials ready when we open. We'll have, like, for instance, I'm doing about a 20-minute DVD that will either be online or you can, you know, you can get it in DVD form that makes this basic presentation, you know, that goes a little more into the issues of undernourishment, how real food technology is superior, how it's different than everything else out there, and then our whole social movement purpose for doing it the way that we do it and the change that we want to bring the world. So that's about a 20-minute DVD. That'll be ready. The other thing we're doing is we're making about a 4-minute. You know, if you guys were at Manifest and you saw when I did the segment on social cause, I showed Tom Shoe's video, which is how they do these shoe drops into the world. And, you know, for every pair of shoes bought, they donate a pair of shoes, and it shows them some remote areas of the world delivering shoes. We're doing the same thing for our manna relief efforts, so we can actually show what does this look like out there on the front lines when we bring real food technology, you know, into the lives of these children. And, you know, it's a very powerful, quick-hitting video that says, here's the problem in the world of malnutrition. You know, here's a company that is dedicated to solving it through a new social movement, you know, bringing real food technologies into the hearts and minds of the public so that we can meet the needs of these kids all over the world. And then the rest of it is just testimony. It's these caregivers out there on the front lines talking about the importance that these products have made in the quality of life of their kids. You know, one caregiver says it's unbelievable. It's like they take fruits and vegetables and put it into a bottle, you know, and our kids for the first time have a quality of life that we've never seen. What a great description from a caregiver about real food technology. It's perfect. And then part of the video is showing that we as an organization actually get involved in the delivery. The Manatech associates get to participate if they choose to, because it's a life-changing experience for us and our children that do that also. And so, for instance, it's the testimony of some of our associates that have gone on these trips to Africa or to Romania or to Haiti or wherever we've gone across the world. And you get to hear some of their testimonies. One is a 16-year-old boy that's on standing outside of an orphanage, and he said, you know, yesterday when we left the orphanage, you know, I just started crying because I realized what a difference I was making in the lives of these little children. And he said, my life's never going to be the same. What a powerful thing for a 16-year-old boy to come to the realization that there is a need and that a person of that age with absolutely no resource other than a heart to do good could make that significant a difference. And so I think it's the most powerful thing that we've ever put out there. But that just accentuates the purpose of what we're doing. And, of course, there'll be the materials on Give for Real, so you'll be able to share them with people. And I think by July 10th, Mary Jo, I know with what you're working on and with Craig's working on, you know, there's going to be some field-driven materials that allow you to approach people in a way that, and with a conversation you've never had before. And I think it's going to be the most powerful way of moving our initiative around the world that we have ever seen or this industry has ever seen.
Well, it's great. It's absolutely great. Now, somebody had sent in a request to know, Sam, the book, again, you said was How to Change the World?
Yep.
Is that the book you referred to? Okay. Do you know the author by chance?
You know what? It's sitting out in the car. It is Bornstein. B-O-R-N-S-T-I-E-N or E-I-N, Bornstein.
Okay.
David Bornstein, How to Change the World. And the subtitle is Social Entrepreneurs and the Value of Big Ideas.
Great.
You know, it's just, it gives the blueprint. It talks about what is needed in the 21st century, and it gives about 10 different examples of this is just in the 1990s. You know, I mean, the guy that started Grameen Bank won, the Nobel Prize in 2006 for microloans,
right?
You know, for addressing poverty, for addressing, you know, rural electricity, for addressing new ways of educating children, for addressing ways of dealing with physically and mentally handicapped children around the world. I mean, these are the ideas that these social entrepreneurs are plugging into to bring global change to the biggest problems that we face in the world today in society. Again, problems that government can't touch, industry can't touch, and not-for-profits can't touch. You know, this new social movement has the ability of really addressing the big, big issues of the world.
Now, Sam, I also heard rumor had it that you were going to add to the incentive program that perhaps on an annual basis now when they have these incentive programs like Atlantis or Costa Rica, mm-hmm. that associates might be able to have an option to go on instead of taking the incentive trip as outlined, you could option to go on a mission trip with Manna Relief. Is that also something we're looking at?
Yeah, that's absolutely. You know, listen, what we want to do is we want to be about social change.
Yep.
You know, we want to make everything that we do, you know, be applicable to what we're trying to get done into the world. And so it doesn't make any sense to force people to go to the Atlantis when they would maybe rather go, you know, to Guatemala or to Romania or to South Africa and actually be a part of the delivery program. So, yeah, we're talking about every option possible about participating.
I think that's powerful. I'm ecstatic about that, and I think it's going to help. You know, I think it's really going to help incentivize people to win these trips. If you can win a mission trip with Manna Relief, oh my gosh, that gives me there's a lot more purpose to it than Atlantis, at least for me.
Well, I'll tell you something. I've taken, or you know, our children have gone, or Chad has gone on like five of these trips. You know, he was 15, Mary Jo, when he went on his first one to Romania.
Wow.
And honestly, it changed his life forever. We live in such an abundant world over here. We have no idea what the rest of the world is doing and what they're going through.
Right.
And, you know, to go with your kids or to send your kids on one of these things, I'm telling you, well, you know, I mean, it is an experience of a lifetime. So, yeah, we want to open the doors to that.
Absolutely. It changes kids' life, and that's, you know, I'm there with you. I didn't do that. I wasn't in the mission, but I remember when I did archaeology digs in, like, Belize and Guatemala for the Mayan archaeology, and I took my niece and nephew one year because I said, you have to be exposed to this. I mean, it was just like,
yes.
And I'm telling you, they changed from that trip. It was huge. I mean, it was just huge because
you
really don't have an idea. You can watch the television. You can look and read papers about it, but until you're exposed to it, you're in their lives. You're in their villages. You take part of their... And it's just such an awesome experience. There's no doubt about it. Yep.
And these caregivers sit around while we're in their orphanages, and they just point to one child after the next and tell all these stories of what's happened to their kids since they've had access to these products. I mean, it is incredible, the experience that you get.
Oh, going back to your program, Sam, one more thing that I heard that you know, I think is awesome is the idea that as these automatic orders ship come July 10th, when people are ordering their products and they get an automatic order, they're also going to be getting like an email just giving them a quote of a caregiver or something so that they can see, they can be in touch with what their auto order just did.
Oh, absolutely. Every month that an auto order goes out, there'll be some piece of information in there that is talking about how our outreach has grown. Hey, listen, on our website, we're going to put a meter that shows real time, you know, accrued donation of Real Food Technology servings, you know, to children. Now, for instance, every time an auto order goes out, that's 30 servings, 30 daily servings. The day we turn this program on, there'll be 40,000 a day of those.
Wow.
40,000 a day. You know, so can you imagine a meter when you bring somebody to our website that is just spinning out of control? Because every day that we bring a new auto order in, that is more numbers to that accumulative total. And that thing will just be, you know, of course, the single digit, 10 digit, 100 digits will be a blur. Then you get into the 1,000 and the 10,000, and you can tell people, this is real time.
Yeah.
This is what is going on around the world as a result of our efforts. These are the number of servings that are going out today as a result of our efforts. I mean, what a visual for showing the enormous potential that we have of really, really addressing this problem.
Great.
And since it's accumulative, I mean, it'll be in the millions immediately.
Right. Oh, I don't know that you can go that high. You're going to have a pretty long number across that page when you're talking about daily servings. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and I'll never forget when we met, Sam, and you were going through this, and my brain was really working, and then I thought to myself, well, what an incredible reactivation program. When somebody stops their auto order, I'm just going to call them up and say, you didn't really mean to kill that child.
Well, hey, if there is a digit meter that shows the national debt, there is in New York, we'll take that same meter and show the good that can come when we as people and organization decide to make change in the world.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, do we have a little bit of time left? Maybe, Sam, if you want to take some questions. I don't
know
if anyone out there wants to unmute and ask Sam some questions or make any comments about what you've heard this morning.
I have a question, please. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. Sam, I really appreciate your pure heart in the giving. I know all about that, you and Linda, and I really appreciate that. I have a real big concern, and I don't even know how to express this completely, but the word social justice is floating around this country now and really has a bad and a negative stigmatism being attached to it because it's going to be used as a back door by the to get into churches and to give to churches if they will maintain a social justice agenda, et cetera, et cetera. Will you at all try to distance yourself from that term social justice? Because as soon as you start
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. We're not using the term social justice. And I know what that is, and I know what your concern, and I think it is legitimate. We are using the terminology exactly as it describes it in the book, a social movement. You know, and again, they describe social movement as an organization that is tapping into the biggest problems that face society. And it's just got great criteria to surround it, and it completely identifies who we are. So, you know, we'll articulate this in the most appropriate way that links people to directly who we are and what we're doing.
Okay, I just didn't want other people to have a red flag and go, uh-oh, because that was my first inside feeling. I went, oh,
right.
No, they've fallen prey to this. What do I do now? How do I communicate?
Right.
I think it would be really my own feeling is to really try to make sure you say that's totally different somehow. I don't know how. But
I think if people hear our message and they see what we're talking about, and they hear the examples, you know, part of my presentation is giving some examples of what social movements look like the Grameen Bank and the guy that brought, you know, electricity to urban Brazil and the lady that changed the way that we deal with in the world with physically and mentally handicapped children and the new forms of learning that have gone out through social movements. And just give people an idea that, listen, all that we're about is solving the biggest problems in the world. And the number one challenge that our generation will face is undernourishment. And we have the solution and we have the program to plug into. So I think people will get who we are and who we're not.
As long as it's kept away from government, any kind of government, donation, whatever you call it, you know, monies.
First of all, the government's never interested in investing in this type of thing. You know, it's too corrupt. It goes, and that's I met the guy one time that runs the organization Feed the Children. He said, here's the one thing you need to know. Governments will never help. You know, we do more food relief than anybody in the world, and we've never gotten a penny from even a foreign government who gets all this money from the World Health Organization or the World Bank. But the corruptness of foreign government keeps it all for themselves and channels it, and none of it gets to the bottom line to these children. So, that's why they said governments can't handle these problems. They're not geared to do it.
No, thank you very much, Sam. Thanks for
listening. Sure.
Sam, this is Fred. How soon will we be able to get our hands on brochures and these DVDs you talk about?
That'll be July 10th.
Okay.
That's
when they're going to roll out.
Fred wants them today, Sam.
Right.
Well, so do I. So do I. But you know what? Hey, Fred, as we're speaking, we're developing the language you know, of this new presentation, who we are, defining who we are in the world. Hey, guys, this gives us the opportunity to distance ourselves from everybody else that sells nutrition, you know, because we're a social movement, not just a sales organization. And we've plugged into this new model that is bringing hope and life to the world's most needy through the most innovative technologies that exist in nutritional science. It's just such a new, fresh way of talking to people about who we are and what we're doing.
Now, Sam, one question here from me. I know that StoryCast was supposed to come out in April, and then it got delayed, and then they came out with a proposal in May, and some of the presidentials were not really ecstatic about it, and we wanted to make sure it was the absolute best yet. I am prayerful that they're going to take that StoryCast that they made and now start over with this. I mean, I don't want a story out there that's not us. I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And that's part of the reason for the delay is because when we tapped into this whole concept of gift for real, it changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm part of the team that is working on the story.
Okay.
So believe me, it will incorporate this whole sense of social responsibility and our ability to change lives and our new model of gift for real and so all of that.
And that opens the door for you guys out listening on the call today, too, because I know a lot of you have expressed some frustration about where is my StoryCast. Or I'm telling you, you don't want it until it's linked to this story.
Oh, you don't want the old story.
You don't want that old story. Right. I don't want the old story. I don't want the same stuff. I don't want, you know, I mean, we go back, we can go back and talk about a lot of stories, and I'm going, no, this is the story. This captivates everyone's heart. Yeah.
And, you know, Mary Jo, it is amazing what is happening in the world that aligns so perfectly with what we're doing, you know. And I think I've shown the slide in my presentation. Maybe you've seen it. You know, Doctors Without Borders, who's probably one of the most significant organizations on the front line out there in the world with malnourished children, said we need two innovative technologies from industry. We need nutritionally dense, ready-to-use foods. In other words, real food technology. That's PhytoMatrix and PhytoBurst. And the second thing they said is we need a nutritional technology that works in conjunction with standard of care because these kids are sick. You know, these kids have crossed the line, and they need immune support. So what they've called for are the two technologies that we patented and developed, and it gives us the best platform to speak from that you could possibly imagine.
Right.
You know, because what they identified in the most acute forms of undernourishment and malnutrition is what the whole world needs. You know, immune-supporting technology, exactly. Ambertose and PhytoMatrix.
There you go. Terrific.
I have a question, Sam. On the law of giving and receiving, I would like to see if there's some way when these brochures come out that Manatech could give one of these brochures to all of these associates and all. Because what I have found in the field is when people have the information, if they get it in an email, but whatever, that they act on it. And so
right.
I think that it will more than pay for itself if we could give them one of the new brochures for them to see what's out there and then let them know that they could order and pay for the others.
Yeah, and I think what we're going to do when we turn this system on is we're going to send every information to every customer we have about what Gift for Real is, about what we're doing in these orphanages, direct them to DVDs, give them DVDs. There's not going to be any shortage of information that goes out when we launch this plan because it is a world-changing concept.
And I would like to ask, Mary Jo, is this going to be on Manatrain that we could refer others to go in to hear what has transpired today?
You bet. It's taped just like every one of my Monday calls, so it'll be up by probably noon or 1 o'clock today. Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you.
You bet. Great. Any other questions out there? I'm so excited. I want to get off the call just to start sharing this with everybody. What about you guys?
I wanted
to say
how
I feel. I'm traveling more than I've traveled in years right now.
I know.
And every place I'm going, I'm telling this story, telling what change is coming, how we're going to deal with it, I'm telling you, it is energizing our entire organization again.
Good morning, Sam. This is John. John Rollins.
Hey, John.
How are you? Man, I don't have a question. I just want to thank you and your team for developing this program, because I know we're not the only ones out here struggling, and there are many other associates. And, boy, this really provides a way I think we can really get this thing off. And we can do good while doing well and that sort of thing. I got goosebumps just listening to you this morning.
Well, thanks, John, and I appreciate that. And you know what, John, let me just tell you something. In one of the questions that comes up when I'm doing these meetings and starting to talk about this, and it's a very legitimate question, it is, what about kids in our country?
Yeah.
You know, again, you don't have to go to Ethiopia to find a child who is even malnourished. Just go across town. You know, and so what I've been working on is fostering relationships with inner city programs, you know, that allow us to distribute here domestically as well as internationally, because we're all about children everywhere. And you know, some of the people that I'm talking to, Jim Washington, you know, here of the Dallas Weekly, who has a real passion for kids, and organizations like the Urban League here in the States that touch the lives of so many kids, and creating strategic relationships and alliances with these organizations. And when you bring them the message of children's health and the fact that we have a self-funding mechanism to provide product to the most highly at-risk kids, I'm telling you, the conversation changes dramatically. Yeah. And people want to participate and want to be involved. So
absolutely.
Pretty neat stuff.
Well, we're excited about it.
Thanks, John.
Uh-huh.
Sam, this is Mary in Columbus, Ohio. Good morning.
Hey, Mary.
I was wondering, what is corporate going to do as far as, this is a great program, what is corporate going to do as far as publicity for the fact that Manatech is involved in such a great program?
You know what, that is phase two of this thing.
Okay.
Phase one is working all the logistics, getting all the material so that you guys can properly do it.
Okay.
There's no doubt there is a unprecedented PR opportunity that attaches to this. I'm not working on that personally at the moment. That is something that our PR people will be, you know, once, it's just like going to organizations that really are on the front line of malnutrition. I had a real reluctance of opening that conversation until I knew exactly how the mechanism was going to work, how it was going to distribute product, when the product was going to come. So once we work out all the logistics, we launch it, then I think it's time to go, you know, talk to people from a PR standpoint of who we are, what we're doing, because we'll be involved in doing it, not we're going to do it. And I think that's the best time to talk to them.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Sam, this is Evangeline.
Yes?
From Texas. Can you hear me? I thank
you're kind
God.
Of breaking up.
Hello?
Hello?
Can't hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Well, go ahead and try to ask your question. We'll see if we can get it.
I just want to thank God for the purpose of the plan that He has that you have taken to heart and are implementing in the very near future. And I want to thank you because this has so many implications of how what it's going to do to our next generation. I'm always concerned about the next generation and the legacy of giving that we can exemplify and be an example to our next generation. It's going to be so profound. It's going to be just magnanimous. And I want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. You just gave me a great idea, Evangeline, for another brochure. Okay. No.
I just want to say I'm working with the South Austin Pregnancy Resource Center, and the pregnancy centers need a lot of help with their children's nutrition, and I'm just chomping at the bit with how I can help them, and this is so just fantastic.
Perfect.
Hey, I have a question. This is Bernadette from Canada. Will this program be available here in Canada as well?
Yes. When we launch it in July, it will be a North American initiative. It will be U.S. and Canada only in terms of the matching donations. You know, ultimately it will be worldwide, but we felt the sense of urgency to get it done as quickly as we could, and the best way to do that is to do it in North America first. So it will be U.S., Canada, and Mexico will all come online. Of course, Mexico doesn't open until next year. But so initially in July, it'll be U.S. and Canada, and then sometime, you know, over the next 12 months, we'll, you know, start moving it across the world. And because, listen, I think here's what I found, that people all over the world have the same desires, the same passions, you know, the same purpose. They feel a sense of owning what is going on in the world and want to play a difference and make a difference in it. And I think, listen, our entire associate base globally is going to respond in an incredible way. And it's something that we can take across the world as a global movement, which, by the way, is what one of these social movements is. It is a global movement for initiating global change, leveraging the currency of people instead of financial banking institutions.
Hey, Sam, it's Karen and Campbell here from Australia, so it's pretty late here, so yes, it's reaching around the world.
Hey, Karen, how you doing?
How do you like that?
Thank you.
Well, see, now the pressure is going to come from Australia pretty quick.
Yeah, Sam, I forgot to tell you this is an international call.
Well, that's okay. I mean, everybody's going to find out what we're doing. There's no secrets to this.
I know. And the faster we get out there, the greater it's going to be. But they're going to be hounding you to get it out to Australia fast.
That's right.
Yep, great.
I'm in.
Anyone else? Okay, group. Well, Sam, thanks. It's about 11 o'clock. We appreciate you so much. And I'll never forget. I can go back to the, you know, some of the first times that I looked at this company, and I can tell you, every time you got up to talk, it was like, you know, I felt like for the Pied Piper, that was about, you know.
Well, let me just say this. This is a changing, you know, this is, I think several years ago at Manifest, we said a defining point.
Uh-huh.
This is a defining point in the history and the life of Manatech. I mean, we have been all around this passion and this desire. We just didn't know enough of how to combine it all together because we didn't have a blueprint of how to do it. Now we do, and we're going to be about changing the world. So I'm off.
It's your heart, too. I remember, like, the Ready, Set, Go program. You sat there and looked, and you went, go where? You know, you're like,
go do what? Go give, but we didn't have anything to give.
I know. It was like, geez. Every single step of the way, you're going, okay, but where? What? You know,
it was that's right.
We're missing something, and I think you hit the nail on the head, and I just thank the Lord that he somehow got that book in your hands, and that's what turned you on and fire, and this is excellent. I mean, it is awesome.
You know, about 4 months ago, I was just praying about this, and what God laid on my heart is, take care of the children, and I'll take care of you.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, but that's what we're doing through Manna Relief. No, take care of the children.
Right, exactly.
Like, not a few thousand, like a few million. Figure that out, and things will be all right.
Yeah, it's kind of like, quit playing life so small, you know?
That's right. Exactly.
I agree with that. I always agree with that. Okay, everybody, love you all. Let's just get excited. Let's get out there and share the word, and we're going to have so much fun running with this program. And don't think you have to wait till July. You can start talking it up, sharing with some people, getting some excitement. You can even use this whole program to do a tremendous reactivation in your downline as well, because it really is something that a lot of people are missing, they're lacking. It is truly that legacy piece that people can be a part of that they perhaps feel has been missing in their life. So, okay, Sam, thanks again. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Mary Jo. See you guys.
Yes.
Bye.
See you guys.
Bye.